Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world? So welcome to the 575th edition of SDG. And the title of today's message is 2022 Endgame Update Number 39. And then later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into being discriminating while not being prejudiced. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, this I say, and this is St. Paul speaking, folks, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So stay tuned to learn how we can walk a worthy walk in this life rather than living an empty life and then waking up one day to realize it was all in vain. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. So why don't we all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity? And stay tuned to find out the latest news that the propaganda, deep state, mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. Now, every week, folks, we begin with something from a past episode. And what I'd like to do this week is wind the clock back 10 weeks to a show we did back in August. I think it was August 20th, around there. And it was episode 565. And in that episode, we learned about the intelligence community's involvement in the media and the Smith-Monk Act, which was actually a covert operation, or actually encompassed under a covert operation known as Operation Mockingbird. Now, around the 1 hour, 40 minute mark in this Back to the Future segment, I shared with the listeners the shocking truth that our media is literally under the control of the Luciferian deep state, and they're using it as the propaganda arm. So I have about, let me see what we have here, 565. I have about a five-minute clip of me in the Back to the Future segment. Now, I don't know what my audio quality is like. I started this on my backup because I'm having all sorts of problems here. But what I'd like to do is just play this clip from back in August when I was telling you about the propaganda that's being spewed continuously in all areas by the mainstream media and how this is actually being facilitated by the Smith-Mundt Act and being foisted upon us by Operation Mockingbird. Have a listen. Like I said, I want to talk about something from the past. And that's propaganda. Now, it's been around for millennia. You can see it on some hieroglyphics in Egypt. You can see it on various stones found in the desert from various fallen civilizations. But it's never really come to the forefront until the advent of the 20th century mass media. Now, the Gutenberg Press back in, I think it was the 14 or 1500s, started the entire movement with propaganda, but it was perfected with mass media and broadcast. You know, radio, television, the internet. Propaganda really came to its head in the 20th century. Now, in the past episode, it wasn't last week, we talked about the Rolling Stone article on Operation Mockingbird. You remember in 1949, the CIA director, his name was Frank Wisner, we covered all this, was given a task to create an organization to manipulate the media and direct the actions of the United States and other countries around the world through manipulation, through lies, through propaganda, and that was known as Operation Mockingbird. Now,
they justified it by saying we have to fight communism. There's always that problem, reaction, solution. They were actually using the Marxist methodology of dialectic materialism to actually move towards more communism. So the government starts this as their stated objective. We've got to fight communism. They get journalists on board. They get mainstream media on board. They even get the movie studios on board. You know, we've talked about all this time and time again. Now, we can sit there and argue about the ethics of Operation Mockingbird, but there's no argument about its effectiveness. It's incredibly effective. I can't tell you how many people today I hear saying, I don't know what's true anymore. And the CIA director said that it will be complete. I think it was CIA Director Casey, when people no longer know what to believe is true. So Operation Mockingbird fulfilled. It has met its stated goal. Maybe that's why they label CNN as entertainment, not news. In fact, did you know that if you look at the origin of the word news, look at the etymology of the word news, it actually means entertainment. Just a thought, folks. Maybe a topic for another day. Alarming fact is that the mainstream media is literally a cesspool of manipulation and thought control. And 99% of the people have no clue that they're being programmed. Now, you think it was bad in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s? Well, you need to get yourself up to speed, because in 2012, and I'd like to wind the clock back to 2012 now, Obama reversed the Smith-Mundt Act. And you may be saying, well, what was that? Well, basically, the Smith-Mundt Act protected we the people here in the domestic United States against propaganda from the government. But by reversing it or reworking it, or what they call the modernization of it, it's called SMMMA, propaganda and fake news can now be spewed upon the people with the support and endorsement of the government, and it's all done legally, although it's not lawful, folks. Now, I've been forgetting to share this with you for weeks upon weeks, and I kept saying, I want to share the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 with the people, and I just kept forgetting to do it, and then just this week it kind of all came together with this Mar-a-Lago narrative and the Civil War and all the crap that I'm seeing, so I thought this is the perfect time to do it. Now, there's something behind this, and it's largely controlled. The media is largely controlled by what I refer to as political Zionists, and I know, I'm going to be anti-Semitic, but trust me on this, folks. Just go read Jim Maher's book, and you'll see how the deep state is largely connected and controlled by these political Zionists. I have nothing against a Jew, folks. I have nothing against their religion, folks. Modernization Act of 2012. It allows the U.S. government to treat we the people, the American people, as enemies of the state. Did you know that? Just like they'd treat any foreign enemy. It's literally a continuation of the Trading with the Enemies Act and the War Powers Act that go all the way back to the Wilson and FDR eras. So now, does this help you understand why we're having so many problems with the government these days? Let's look at it in layman's terms, okay? House Resolution 5736 that was published on May 10th, 2012, declares the purpose of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, the SMMA, and I'm going to quote it directly now, to amend the United States Information and Educational Exchange Act of 1948 to authorize the domestic dissemination of information and material about the United States intended primarily for foreign audiences and for other purposes. This is in the Congressional Records, folks. You can look it up. It is now legal to broadcast and spew propaganda here in the United States of America by the establishment. So that's enough of that clip. That was first broadcast here on BTR, Blog Talk Radio, on August 20th, 2022. It's SDG number 565. If you're interested in this, folks, go back and cue it up around the 1 hour, 40-minute mark and listen to the entire Back to the Future segment. Now, I've been telling you for a long time that the mainstream media cannot be trusted, and they will never tell the truth. I've been saying that for nearly a decade here on this show and on the show I used to do with John on Tribulation Now. And just this week, this video comes out featuring author and investigative journalist Lee Smith. Now, he explains this dangerous development Insider National Media, puts a slightly different spin on it, but he's essentially saying the same thing I am. So I have a clip here queued up with Lee Smith from his latest, bombshell release. This is about a minute and 53 seconds out of his video. So just have a listen, and then I'll catch you on the other side.
This is one of the important things about Russiagate, how we need to understand this. It's not just about the Durham investigation. It's not just about what Robert Mueller did, what the FBI did, what John Brennan was up to, what the press was up to. This is the fundamental structure for understanding what we're up against now. When people talk about the press being biased, or the press being too partisan, or the press being too ignorant or too naive to go back and rectify their mistakes or return the Pulitzer Prize that the New York Times and Washington Post won for their 2018 reporting. The important point, and I emphasize this every time I speak with people about this issue, is this. It's not that the press is lazy. It's not that the press is ignorant. The press is the outward face of the national security apparatus right now. This didn't always used to be the case. We're all familiar with the fact that the press has historically leaned to the left. That's not what we're looking at now. We're looking at something very, very different. We're looking at the press as being a part of the intelligence community. They're the ones who's putting these operations out there, whether we're looking at the effort to hide Hunter Biden's laptop. Remember what happened here? We have the 50-plus intelligence officials who were saying, oh, that's Russian disinformation, and how that's pushed into places like the New York Times and CNN, and how all of these outfits, including social media, are preventing this real news from getting out there. When the New York Post published it, they blocked it, right? They threw the New York Post, their account, off of Twitter. So again, I think as we move forward, this is the fundamental thing to understand.
He's right on. Lee's saying it. This is the most important and fundamental issue to understand concerning our media. So the purpose of today's mainstream press isn't to inform, but to move the sheeple in the direction planned by the deep state and the intelligence community. And there are so many examples of this happening over the last 4 or 5 years. We have the Trump-Russia dossier, the Trump EP tapes. Excuse me for my vulgarity, but do you remember that? The Alpha Bank lies, Hunter Biden's laptop, and this of family crimes, folks. Joe Biden sniffing and rubbing of children. I mean, how many times have we seen that? His clear dementia. The narrative that elections are secure, yet we've had 2,000 mules. We've had so many other, the audit out in Arizona, which showed so many invalid ballots that were never rescinded by the Secretary of State. We have the vaccines are safe narrative, the vaccine stopped the spread narrative, the COVID-19 virus was from a wet fish market narrative, Trump organized the insurrection, you know, the whole J6 debacle with the kangaroo court. Now, in each of these instances, the intel community, along with the Democratic leaders led by the mainstream media, are lying to we the people, either by planting this false information or by ignoring the stories that harmed their cause. Folks, Alex Jones was right, and look what they did to him. Currently in the longest, saddest, most excruciatingly painful and unsatisfying we told you so in the entire history of the world. And I'm not gloating over this, folks, but these are the facts. Folks, we the people need to take back control, then start treason trials, and then after legally and lawfully trying these traitors in a court of law, we need to hang those who have been convicted. People like Christopher Wray, hang him for treason. Comey, hang him for treason. Brennan, hang him for treason. Hayden, for treason. Chief of Staff of the military. What's his name? Milley? Hang him for treason. Merrick, Himmler, Garland, and I'm sorry for that, but Garland's in on this. Mayorkas. Throw every single communist Chinese out of the country, folks, along with Chinese students and along with all the Saudi students. You know what they were involved with back in 9/11. Folks, we have to remove all communist Chinese companies from America and America's financial markets. Remove all America's pension plans from the communist Chinese companies and their markets. forced the sale of all communist Chinese land ownership in America. So all these Chinese companies are buying up farmland and properties right beside military bases, and then they're putting up jamming antennas. We need to outlaw the foreign ownership of any American land. Eliminate the Patriot Act, eliminate the FISA courts, and take our great nation back from these godless Marxists. We need to do that, folks. We can, and we must. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving, and it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every single week, let's get started with our coronavirus hype. That's what we need to do, folks. And I'm hoping you see, you're seeing now that this is mind control. It's propaganda, folks. Now, as we do every week now for the last couple months, we do a sudden adult death syndrome update. You know, it's sad, and I don't want to belittle these deaths. I don't want to do that. But, you know, it's another day and yet another clot story. You can go online, and there are websites that just aggregate all of these sudden adult deaths. Here's one from the Gateway Pundit. 55-year-old local radio legend dies suddenly on air while presenting the morning show. Sky News reports that Suffolk, this is over in England, Suffolk local radio DJ Tim Gow died suddenly while presenting his show. And this is just like, oh, well, he died. When do you remember somebody on air dropping dead? He's not the first. There are TV news readers. There are talk show hosts. There are sports reporters dropping dead while on the air. Now, here's what Mr. Gao posted on Twitter after being boosted earlier in the year. No problems with booster shots, Pfizer and Moderna. In our family and immediate friends, aside from the odd slightly sore arm for 36 hours, I say get your boosters, pee, and enjoy your cheese and wine. I mean, talking about work whilst at work and following the rules. And then here's another, folks. There was an 18-year-old varsity high school cheerleader who died suddenly due to a blood clot. This was a senior cheerleader in the North Little Rock High School. Victoria Moody, 18 years old, died suddenly on Sunday. And this is being reported by Fox 16 in Little Rock. Moody's older sister, Brooke McCarthy, claims that her sibling was in good health up until Sunday night when her father, Brian Moody, took her to the hospital saying she wasn't feeling well. And according to her sister, Victoria's untimely death was caused by a pulmonary embolism. And it was apparently too advanced to stop. Folks, let's for a minute and critically think. Pilots are dying in their planes, DJs dying while on air, cheerleaders and athletes dying in the field, and teachers dropping dead in the classrooms. Does anybody remember this type of thing happening prior to the scamdemic and the introduction of these clot shots? Plus, in addition to the sudden influx of all these sudden deaths, which seems to be snowballing now in real time. And if you go out to the CDC and you look at the aggregator they have that counts weekly deaths, it's higher now after the vaccination than it was through the entire scamdemic. In fact, during the scamdemic, it was within the normal, reasonable margin of error for any other month. And these things cycle because of weather. So in the cold, people die, and in the warm summer months. But during the entire scamdemic prior to the introduction, you see very few spikes. Now, there was a spike during that nursing home scam that all the Democratic governors did to get the hype started. But other than that, folks, the entire death rate during the scamdemic prior to the introduction of the clot shot was pretty much normal. Now look at it. 1 week, 80% higher. Another week, 20% higher. It's trending higher every single week, folks. And most of the deaths are by people in the working age group. So from, say, 20 to 60. Plus, I just recently read a headline that was titled, "An Unprecedented Raise in Respiratory Viruses in Children is Overwhelming Some Hospitals." And you know why? Because the children are now getting the jab. And the 15-member FDA panel just approved it for the normal annual vaccination schedule for children to attend school. But praise the Lord, folks, some governors are standing up and saying, no, that won't happen in my state. And the professionals in the medical industry are trying to convince the jab that these early physical symptoms are normal after the jab. But the truth is, folks, that sudden adult death syndrome is becoming normalized, just like SIDS was back in the 80s when infants started to get vaccinated. Now, remember we played this clip a few weeks back. It was a mom who suddenly made the painful realization that she may have killed her baby back in the 80s by getting all those vaccinations. Listen to it.
Freaking out because something that's been going on for over 40 years just hit me. I had a child that died of SIDS in 1984. For people that don't know what SIDS is, it's called sudden infant death syndrome, or crib death was another one. I've been saying this for 40 years, over 40 years. I don't understand this. He was just at the doctor's 2 weeks before, got his shots, he had the perfect health, everything was great. And then last night, I watched, have you maybe watched Mrs. G, the medical examiner? I can't say it wrong. Anyway, I watched her show, and she says, what's at rise right now is the sudden adult syndrome. Same thing as SIDS, but it's for adults. What happened lately that was forced upon people that they had to have? And all of a sudden, the rise of these adults dying for no reason is happening? And then it dawned on me. But I poisoned my kid 2 weeks before with a vaccine that I was told was safe. What if that's the cause of sudden infant death syndrome? And they've been lying to us all this time. And they've been experimenting on our babies since 1984 and before. And it's just come to light because we get more education now. We can get reach education. We're not just told whatever they want us to tell. We can look research online. What if that's the cause of SIDS? What if me doing what I thought was good killed my baby? And it's just hitting me right now because I never put two to two together until now. Tell me what you guys think. Do you think I'm kind of off my rocker? Do you think I'm just being stupid? I don't know. Because his death shaped my whole adult life. Changed it completely. And I just wonder where I would be or what kind of person I would be if he didn't die. It made me very bitter and angry. It really did.
So why this denial by the mainstream media concerning truth? Why are they jabbing the entire population from infants all the way up to the elderly while denying it's a bioweapon and the cause of these deaths and what's bringing about SADs? Why? Population control, folks. But it's even bigger than SADs. So we have sudden adult death syndrome. And I'm going to put a C in there. So we have SCADs. Sudden COVID adult death syndrome. We have SCADs of deaths now in adults. Plus, we also have kids for sudden COVID infant death syndrome. And we have SEDS, sudden COVID elderly death syndrome. And why? Agenda 2030 population reduction, folks. Oh, and by the way, this is now being proven by honest researchers to be happening from the child demographic, the infant demographic, all the way up to the elderly. Deaths are in excess of normal. And what's changed? One thing, the scamdemic and the introduction of these clot shots. Did you hear about the pharmacist folks who cannot answer questions about the COVID vaccine? So here's a woman that came in, you know, for informed consent, and she starts asking some hard questions, and the pharmacist cannot answer these questions. It's a 2-minute and 20-second clip. Let's have a look.
That's from the Moderna vaccine.
Okay, Moderna. Is it the same for Pfizer and all of the others?
Each brand is a little different.
Okay. So may I take this with me to look at all of the safety studies, placebo safety studies on this?
Because the one that's given to patients doesn't contain that information. So that
which one are they giving if it's not
so,
this one?
So no, that's the one. That is the one we are giving.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the package insert given to patients isn't the full information.
So it's not from the manufacturer themselves.
That is from the manufacturer, but it's truncated. That's okay. The full thing.
So why is it intentionally blank if it's all the safety studies?
They're inside.
They're inside of it?
Yeah, this folds up.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to get one of these 35 packages, and I'll do the signature. You can just use the card. I've got to get online and find it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I already know that it's intentionally blanked. My last question is, how is it informed consent when all of the safety studies, placebo safety studies, are not listed from the manufacturer?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I would talk to CVS about that.
Okay. So if we don't know what we're injecting into ourselves, I don't understand how that's informed consent.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
And you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And you are correct. I should not be giving these vaccines at all.
Okay. Oh, why are you giving them?
Because I am told to.
I understand.
And everything I have shown, including the patients that I have given it to, it is safe.
It is safe and effective. What studies are you going by that states that it's safe and effective? I know these are tough questions, but I have to ask.
I know, and I'm sorry, but...
But you can't answer, so I understand that.
I unfortunately cannot answer that,
okay.
And I feel... And right now, I'm feeling totally inadequate.
Praise the Lord, folks. People are finally waking up to the COVID psyop. About halfway through that, did you hear all that crumbling paper? That was the pharmacist opening up the insert that comes with every multi-pack. I think they come in packs of 10, these COVID jabs from Moderna and Pfizer. But when you open them up, there's nothing in them. And I think that was the first time you realized that. This is exactly what professionals should not be doing, blindly following orders. This is a psyop run by the deep state propaganda arm of the mainstream media, also known as the fake news. That's what we opened the show with, and that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. Do not trust what you hear on the mainstream media. They are manipulating you. Why do you think they call it programming? The TV guide. Program guide. It's programming, folks, and not just in the news, but in entertainment, too. They're advancing their agenda. Did you hear about the woman who regrets complying? I think I have that clip here. Let's take a listen to that one if I can find it here. Here we have it. So this is a vaccinated woman who was complying, who had that red pill moment, and now regrets her compliance. It's 40 seconds. Let's have a listen.
Okay, nurse for life. I did comply. That's the problem. I did go get a shot. I got one shot of Pfizer, and I had a blood clot within 2 weeks in my left arm, and I've been dealing with pain and tremors, and I now have seizures called myoclonic jerks. This ruined my life. And so are you suggesting that in order for me to be able to cross back into Canada to go and take another shot, even though the first one did this to me? Is that what you're saying? For nothing? Because it doesn't stop the transmission? I am like mind blown right now.
Surprise! Surprise, surprise.
That's right, Gomer. People are waking up. It's sad, but at least they're waking up. And there are some detox methods out there, folks. And if you're interested, I can email the protocols to you. Just email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. So do not lose hope if you've had these jabs, and I'm not mocking you if you have. Remember, one-third of them were saline solutions. One-third of the remainder, or I should say one-half of the remainder, were benign attempts at a true vaccination, and then the final half of the remainder, or the last third of the total, were the deathical game, folks. Don't lose hope. Now, the silent majority, that's we the people. We need to wake up before it's too late. Remember that Bug's Life? We played it before. There's many more of us than there are of them. And I don't know if I should play it or not. I have a lot here. But it's from the Bug's Life, the cartoon. Listen.
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not...
There you got a little flavor of it. But it's even greater than being outnumbered by 100 to 1, folks. We outnumber the deep state. We outnumber these Luciferians by tens of thousands to one, maybe even hundreds or millions to one. Folks, remember the whole protest on the 1%? These Luciferians are the 1%, folks. We need to stand up and say no. You know, the compliance of the masses has put their children at risk because of the woke CDC adding these experimental mRNA jabs to the childhood vaccination schedule I mentioned before. And why are they doing this? Well, to protect these big pharma companies and the deep state government from lawsuits. Remember, these shots were never formally approved by the FDA, because if they were, then that opens the companies up to lawsuits. They're using emergency use authorization approval granted by the FDA, and they're immune under that. So what are they afraid of if they're safe and effective? Remember, we heard that from everybody as high up as Anthony Fauci, all the way through to all of the entertainers and the media influencers. Remember, the CDC had that multi-billion dollar budget for entertainments, and they went to people like Elton John and all these people on TikTok, and they all got them to preach and push the jab. Remember what Elton John said?
It's really important to know that the vaccines have all been through and met the necessary safety and quality standards.
Now, he got paid for that. So he's a paid shill of the Zionistic media. And more on that a little bit later. That's what Ye is coming out on right now. He's just using the wrong terms. He shouldn't have been saying Jew. He should have been saying Zionist. How about all these late-night propagandists from Stephen Colbert to who's the other one? Just forgot. But we've got Stephen Colbert bashing ivermectin. Remember that?
It is medicine for horses, but the Mississippi Poison Control Center has been pelted with calls from people taking ivermectin in a dangerous attempt to dodge COVID. And officials say 70% obtained the drug from animal supplies. Two people hospitalized.
Okay, students, before we begin the operation, let's bring in the specialist. How do we proceed, doctor?
Have you tried ivermectin? It works for everything. Heart disease, enlarged liver, athlete's hoof. So what's the issue here?
The patient has a broken leg.
That's a death sentence. Get the shotgun.
A horse is a horse, of course, don't trust it as a medical source. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Dr. Ed.
So there you have Stephen Colbert mocking ivermectin, which has been proven to be safe and effective. And then I think there was also something on the Corbett report. See if I could find that. Yeah, the Corbett report did a vaccine meme. I don't know if this is the right one or not.
This is Bill Gates' plan to vaccinate the world. You're tuned into the...
No, that's... Let's not get into that. I thought it was an assembly of some of the comedians, all paid and compensated for those little spiels by the CDC. Key question, folks. How does Extremely Safe explain hundreds of sudden deaths of all these athletes? And all these deaths within 7 days of the jab. And then how about, did you hear the reports on the lower fertility and birth rates? Higher all-cause mortality. Now some of the gatekeepers on both sides, both left and right, are breaking the ranks. You got Ben Shapiro on the right admitting now that he was wrong. But he's taken a safe stance, and his stance now is these jabs don't prevent transmission. Hey, that's level one, as Mike Adams says. There's level two. It's killing people. And it doesn't stop you from getting it. It actually kills you. Level three, it's a bioweapon. Level four, level five. You know, there are so many levels to this. It's like going down a rabbit hole. And then how about the lefty, Tim Robbins, also coming out now, admitting he was wrong. So people are waking up. Now, some time ago, we played a clip of the oil industry recruiter stating that they had to plan to replace the workers on these oil platforms in the Gulf Coast in about 3 years because of the vaccine. Now, I was looking for it before the show. I couldn't find it. But these replacements had to be done because people were going to fall ill to the shots, and they needed reliable workers. And this year, it's looking like it's starting to happen. Now, I'm proud to say I'm a pureblood. And, you know, this higher exercise reminds me of a line from The Matrix. Everything I've been trying to do to wake people up, it reminds me of that classic clip. What would they call it? The red pill? I think it was called the red pill, if I can call it up here. You know, it's where Morpheus is talking to, what's his name, Neo? So it's the red pill, blue pill in The Matrix. You know, he goes, the Matrix is everywhere. The Matrix is all around us. Well, just listen to that. And as you listen to it, substitute the word Matrix with the word COVID. So COVID is everywhere. COVID is all around us. Even now in this very room, you can see COVID when you look out your window. Have a listen and substitute COVID for Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
And I'm telling you, folks, this rabbit hole goes deep, much deeper than what Tim Robbins and Ben Shapiro are admitting at level one, that the jabs don't stop the transmission. You've got level two, you've got level three, you've got level four, you've got level five that shows that it's actually an AI technology. There are patents out there on it, folks. Maybe we'll cover that in a later show. I'm just going to put jab levels. One through five. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later. But right now, we have to keep moving. And you know what it's time for, folks? It's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. The gentleman, Ka means salt. Boo means dance. He means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slant or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curvy of economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for agenda 2030 and the new world war. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
I don't know if you heard, but just this week, the very talented and articulate and intelligent Laura Logan was on Newsmax TV. She was on the show with Eric Bolling, and they were discussing the open borders and God's plan for the earth. Now, remember, Laura Logan is a commentator. She's done a lot on Ingram, and she's been on other shows, you know, mostly those talk shows that cover the politics and all that. Extremely talented, very talented, and she's a believer. And she shared a belief that open borders are evil and destructive. And I'm telling you, this isn't a controversial statement that people are trying to make it. But she continues in these levels, down that rabbit hole that Morpheus was telling Neo about, played from The Matrix. And guess what happened? She got deplatformed. Let's have a listen to what she said. It's about a two-minute clip.
It's right out of the playbook, the right out of the socialist playbook. You divide and conquer. You don't tell them your intent. You get people to come in. You got your useful idiots, those of us who are paying for these people to have all these luxuries, and they lie about it. Yeah. How does it end?
Well, badly. It is badly for some. Okay, so on a serious note, you know, people of all faiths have said to me that this is a spiritual battle. I am a firm and solid and immovable believer in God. And I believe that God wins. I believe that good is greater than evil. And I believe that the fallen angel, otherwise known as Satan, doesn't get to prevail in this world. So if you follow the Bible or if you follow the Quran or you follow the Book of Mormon, you know, people talk in various different ways about the end times. And if you fight for God, God will fight for you. But
final thought, though. I have to ask you this because my audience is very God-fearing, God-loving, et cetera. Final thought. Only a couple of seconds, please. Is God okay with a closed border?
Much bigger than that. God believes that in sovereignty and national identity and the sanctity of family and all the things that we've lived with from the beginning of time. And he knows that the open border is Satan's way of taking control of the world through all of these people who are his stooges and his servants. And they may think that they're going to become gods. That's what they tell us. Yuval Noah Harari and all the rest of them at the World Economic Forum. You know, the ones who want us eating insects, cockroaches and that while they dine on the blood of children.
Yeah.
Those are the people, right? They're not going to win. They're not going to win.
Well.
Did you hear what she said there at the end? And the rest of them at the World Economic Forum, you know, the ones who want to eat, let me say that again, the ones who want us eating bugs and cockroaches, well, they dine on the blood of children. And then there's Kanye, now known as Ye, formerly Kanye West. You know, he's out there ranting on the Jews, but you know, you have to distinguish a Jew. Are you talking about their race? If you're doing that, probably not a good idea. If you're talking about their religion, probably not a good idea. But if you're talking about their politics, folks, that's fair game, and that's known as Zionism. Maybe we'll do a segment on that in the future. It's just like saying all Italians are bad because there are some in the mafia. It's like saying all Russians are bad because we have the Russian mob. Well, likewise, folks, not all Jews, ethnically or religiously, are Zionists. Enough said on that, folks. I mentioned it in the clip I played from August 20th. Kanye's trying to say this, although he's not using the proper terms. But if you study history, you'll see that there's a small group of these Jewish people, and some of them aren't even Jewish by race or religion. They're Zionists, and they're advancing an agenda, and it's not good. And then over at Second Smartest Guy in the World on Substack, there was this article he published this past week referring to the PSYOP for World War III. It's imminent. Russia readying tactical nuclear strike in Ukraine. You know, you hear this all over the Western media right now. Putin's patience wearing thin. He has a non-war in Ukraine. It's actually a military action. He's upping it now because of all the support from the West and NATO. But this is a PSYOP, folks. And we hear things like the chances of a limited tactical nuclear strike are all but assured. This is another PSYOP, no different than what we had from election 2020, the J6 fiasco, the scamdemic. So you listen to this and you go through all of this, and he ties in things with the Chinese state media telling all their people in Ukraine to vacate immediately, coming from other organizations, and the Mirror Online article about the Russian oligarchs all getting their bomb shelters in place. Well, in my humble opinion, folks, this post is heavy on Western propaganda and ever so light on reality. The only side foolish enough and desperate enough to initiate the use of nukes is NATO, which is losing hands down. They do not have the infrastructure in place. They're shutting steel mills down. BASF is doing a partial shutdown. They supply over 40,000 chemical precursors necessary to support a war machine. Russia has no need to use nukes. In fact, they're going out there saying there's threats of a dirty bomb. We're not behind it. Ukraine is. Besides, no matter what the mainstream media tells you, Putin isn't crazy. He's winning this war. And he's smart enough to realize that the fallout, if there are the use of nukes, won't be confined to Ukraine. It's going to affect all the surrounding countries, including his own and his allies. Now, Putin has the support of troops in Belarus, about 70,000. And my thoughts are that the Belarus force, if you want to call it that, will eventually invade Ukraine up in the north, and Russia will invade from the east. And the capital, Kiev, will quickly be surrounded. That's why you see all these evacuations happening. Conventional bombs will be used, folks. In fact, they have that fuel-air mix bomb, which is devastating. They do not need to use nukes. It's the NATO group and the United States that have that need. And I'll even bet you a cup of coffee, folks, that this B-grade actor, Zelensky, installed to, quote-unquote, lead Ukraine back in 2014, by the Obama regime, has already left the country. And if nukes are used, it'll be the pedo in the White House and his puppeteers that trigger the code as a PSYOP. Plus, China's always leading the hysteria on these PSYOPs, you know. Are the Chinese collapsing in the streets of Kiev yet from any radiation poisoning? Well, no. There may be a single coordinated tactical nuclear attack, sacrificing Ukrainians as some sort of PSYOP between NATO and Russia. And don't think Russia's scot-free on all this, folks. Remember, we have Klaus Schwab admitting that even Putin was a member of his young leaders' college or whatever you want to call it. They're not going to blow themselves up and destroy the earth for their technocratic one-world government agenda. What it's more useful as is another form of fear to control. Think about it. If they did go full-out nuclear, the aftermath would reduce this entire world to a heap of ash. So this war is actually going to be used the same way they used COVID, the same way they used J6. It's a PSYOP. So we had PSYOP 19, we had PSYOP J6, we had PSYOP Election 2020, and we're going to have PSYOP Thermonuclear Global War 3. And I'm going to tell you, my prediction is that the mainstream media is going to start covering this story, and we're going to get dangerously close to the midterm elections, and they may have some sort of October surprise. We're getting into November now, but it's going to be some sort of scary thing that gets everybody wanting to not change status quo. See what the Democrats are up against. But I'm just telling you, this entire thing concerning Ukraine and Russia and the threat of nuclear war is a psyop. And that's my two cents. But we have to keep moving. It's time for our newest segment, Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow, 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 follow.
So remember, folks, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you want to find out who's behind whatever the new controversy is, just follow the Yellow Brick Road. This week, Summit News reports that the Australian bank begins linking customer transactions to their carbon footprint. And remember, good old Al Gore's behind that, and there's lots of money involved. Just another foretaste of a potential future that we could face where we're all going to be tracked with regard to our carbon allowances. So this major bank in Australia has introduced a new feature that links purchases to customers' carbon footprints and warns them when they're going over the average. Let's have a listen to this 4 minute and 59 second clip.
Eating too much red meat this month. Took one too many car journeys. Not recycled enough garbage. Well, in the near future, when you go to pay for something on your credit card, you could be met with this.
Transaction denied. You've reached your CO2 emission limit.
It's the new Doconomy Global Climate Action Credit Card.
But instead of introducing a premium credit card with the typical benefits that encourages further mass consumption, Doconomy did the opposite by launching Do Black, the world's first credit card with a carbon limit. Simply put, it's the first credit card ever to stop you from overspending. Not based on your available funds, but rather on the levels of CO2 emissions caused by your consumption.
MasterCard just announced it was teaming up with Doconomy to co-create the future of digital payments. Oh shit. And if you were left in any doubt as to how evil this all is, the credit card is proudly endorsed by Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum.
And are we the baddies?
This credit card has a carbon emission spending limit.
Enables users to track and measure their carbon footprint from each purchase.
Yeah, I'm really sure Schwab and his billionaire buddies are going to miss Davos next year because the credit card told them they'd already taken 50 private jet trips. No, they'll just buy carbon offsets, because they're rich and can afford it, and they're invested in all the carbon offset trading mechanisms anyway. It's like when Bill Gates gives millions of dollars to companies he's invested in and then calls it charity. This has nothing to do with climate change and everything to do with technocratic micromanagement and control of your life.
Track your climate impact and ensure that you reduce it by 50% in line with the UN 2030 recommendation.
The core purpose of Doe Black is not only the ability to measure the impact of your consumption, but also bringing it to a direct halt, making it a radical tool against climate change.
By bringing it to a radical halt, they mean that that steak dinner you planned for tonight is actually going to be a bug burger made of mealworms, all washed down with an invigorating cup of bugger poop worm poo tea. The science journal Nature also recently touted a carbon allowance credit card that would, quote, entail all adults receiving an equal tradable carbon allowance that reduces over time in line with national carbon targets. The authors call for the program to be mandatory. Carbon units would be deducted from the personal budget with every payment of transport fuel, home heating fuels and electricity bills, and anyone going over the limit would be forced to purchase additional units in the personal carbon market from those with excess to sell. The authors note how mass global compliance with COVID-19 contact tracing apps has greased the skids for all this, and that, quote, people may be more prepared to accept the tracking and limitations related to PCAs to achieve a safer climate as a result. They specifically state that they plan to keep track of your food consumption and lead it to your carbon footprint ration limit. And there you were thinking you'd never eat the bugs. Once you top out your CO2 ration limit, it could be a choice between consuming the crickets or going hungry. But wait, not only could future purchases be dependent on whether you've topped out on your carbon footprint, they're also announcing that credit scores could be based not on the fact that you've abused credit and got yourself into mountains of debt in the past, you know, like they should be, but that they should be based on, get this, browsing history. From the International Monetary Fund website, the use of non-financial data will have large effects on the provision of financial services. Traditionally, banks rely on the analysis of customer financial information from payment flows and accounting records. The rise of the internet permits the use of new types of non-financial customer data, such as browsing histories and online shopping behavior of individuals, or customer ratings for online vendors. You shared an article that the fact checkers weren't happy with. You tweeted a nasty thing about Jeff Bezos. You failed to post the black square for BLM. Now you can't get a loan. Now you can't get a bank account. Now you can't get a mortgage. But don't worry, there's no Chinese-style social credit score for the West. It's all one big conspiracy theory. I've heard dried locusts, ants, and beetles are an acquired taste. Well, if the technocrats get their way, you'll be acquiring it very soon.
Wow.
Exclusive content, early access, behind-the-scenes stuff, and to personally interact with me, please sign up for my community at pauljosephwatson.locals.com. Link in description, and thank you for your generous support.
My apologies to Paul Joseph Watson for not letting him get his little tag there in the band, but did you hear that? A credit card that issues monthly punishments rather than rewards. Folks, that's brilliant. Where do I sign up? So let me get this straight. We're supposed to comply our way out of tyranny? No, I think we do what we heard the ants do in A Bug's Life. Folks, if we could comply our way out of tyranny, that'd be a first, and it ain't going to happen. Folks, have you noticed that every day it's getting more and more like an episode of The Black Mirror? We've covered that in past shows. And, you know, at first I thought I was just getting old. Then I realized, yes, times have changed, changing to a dystopia. It's real, folks. It's life imitating art, and it reminds me of that reality that the WEF is promoting in the Plandopoulos clip. Let's have a listen. Titled Mega Cities on the Move, we've played it in the past. It's about 2 minutes and 40 seconds long, and it's on. Oh, and did you ever notice that all these clips have that really wonky British voice, and it's always a woman, and it's always like so like whimsical. So the carbon card enables users to take and monitor their carbon footprint. like it's something wonderful. Well, listen to this out of the Megacities on the Move. This was something funded, a cartoon funded by the WEF. And we're supposed to say, oh, sign me up.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad you're on time. I'm V. I'm looking forward to showing you around Plandopolis today. My husband works from home. He's a virtual engineer working on one of the city's desalination plants. He controls the robots who do all the important maintenance. I think he basically plays computer games for a living. You ready to go? Have you got your calorie card open on your smartphone? I registered your visit with Slick Travel Corp the other day, so they've allotted you a journey time to match mine. It makes so much sense, doesn't it? Switch off brain and go to work. With this many people around, I'm glad there's a mega computer in charge. We're so lucky. Our kids were allocated a school quite near my practice, so I can drop them off on the way. Saves on our calorie ration. Well, it won't be long until the little darlings get their career announcements. They've been working so hard, so I'm sure they'll get something good. Not that there's anything wrong with fixing carbon scrubbers for a living or anything. Are you hungry? Let's pop to the market as we're passing. Right, what's on the menu this month? No, not meat. It's not your birthday. The Global Food Council are doing a really good job of keeping food production going. I mean, you don't get the choice you used to, but we're better off than most. I think it's probably easiest to walk from here. You barely see a car in the city centre nowadays, unless you're rich. Oh, the state knows they just aren't practical anymore. We're all trying to meet our global carbon deal. Electric bikes are so much better for getting around our neighbourhood. And why waste valuable space on car parks when you can use them to grow food? I don't care what you say, Alex. They don't deserve to live in that ghetto. They are completely disconnected. No high-speed transport system, no new internet. They miss out on jobs and many essential services too. Oh... Hi again. What a day. I had to make an emergency visit to the Cry Freedom ghetto. I mean, I miss my sister like mad, but I'm glad they went when they were moved to New Amsterdam. They're safe from climate change on the floating city. That must be her now. It's much easier to meet up with friends virtually now. So many cities have banned cars in central areas. Ooh, looks like she's got some juicy gossip.
You know, folks, the people they don't kill with the death jabs are going to be put into these mega cities and controlled. You know what I might do in a future episode of Ken's Corner? Is I might deconstruct that clip. Let's just see if the Lord leads me in that way, okay? Let's just have one more comment in the economy until we move on to the next segment. You know, things haven't looked this bad since 2008. We're in the middle of the worst inflation crisis since Jimmy Carter, and the housing market is collapsing. Some of the largest companies in America have begun laying off workers, and economic activity is slowing down all around us. Look at what's happening to all the big techs. Google down, Apple down. Facebook has lost 25% of its value in one day. And, of course, Joe Biden's telling us that our economy is strong as hell. His words, not mine, in these midterms. But ultimately, all it takes is a truly objective view, and anyone who does that is going to be forced to admit that the outlook of what's coming ahead for 2023 is incredibly bleak. So I'm just going to go through 12 reasons that I saw on a recent Substack article, and I don't remember whose it is, so I can't give credit to it, but I just bullet-pointed 12 points. So a recent Gallup poll survey says two-thirds of America believe the economic conditions are getting worse. Number two, the second largest auto lender in the United States announced that it is seeing charge-offs for retail auto loans quadruple in the third quarter. That's people that don't pay, so they have to write it off and they send in collection. Cargo traffic in the Port of Los Angeles is at the lowest level since the early days of the pandemic. Number four, major retailers, and we've talked about this, companies like Walmart and Target, have canceled billions of dollars of orders and severely cutting back inventory levels. Number five, existing home sales fell to a 10-year low. Number six, U.S. builder sentiment declined for 10 months in a row. It's a brand new record, folks. Number seven, 60,000 real estate deals were called off in the month of September alone. And why? Because of rising interest rates. Number eight, mortgage demand has plunged to the lowest level in 25 years. Number nine, Ian Shepherdson, the chief economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics, is projecting that home prices could fall 20% over the next year. Number 10, did you hear diesel inventories are at the lowest level since 2008? We're down to less than a 30-day supply of diesel here in the southeast. Well, actually in the southeast. I'm not in the southeast. Number 11, core consumer price index has surged to the highest level since 1982, folks. Number 12, a model created by Bloomberg, an economist over there named Anna Wong and Aliza Winger, indicates that there's a 100% chance of a recession in the next 12 months. I want to laugh at that one. We are in a recession. But what happens is the economists always tell you ex post facto. So right now, some of our society's most relentless optimists are even warning that tough economic times are ahead. So anyways, folks, we all need to gear up. And what I'd like to do right now is move along. It's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. There she is. Beautiful fall day here. Henrietta, you should be outside scratching through the leaves looking for some bugs. But what we want to talk about today is prepping. And one of the most important things that you need after food and shelter is warmth. And with all the crazy energy upsets going on, you know, if diesel fuel is in short supply, so is home heating oil. Natural gas is an issue in some areas. So how are you going to heat your homes? Well, there's always the good tried and true heating with wood. And Terry and I, before we got our gas wells here back, I think it was in 2007, we heated with wood for 20 years out here. Today is just share some things with you concerning heating with wood. Now, to do it efficiently and safely, you need several things. You need good wood. You need a good wood stove. You need a good chimney. And to gather that wood, you need a good chainsaw. So I want to tell you what my experience has shown me concerning a good wood stove. And we have the Harman Mark III Cool wood stove. So it can burn either coal or wood. And it's built like a tank, folks. Now, you can't buy these from Harman anymore, because back in 2014, Harman sold this product line to another company. And I'm not getting any endorsement money for this. I'm just sharing with you what I believe is the best wood stove out there. It's now being made by Alternative Heating Systems, and you can find their website. And it's being sold under the Legacy Stove brand now. Classic, folks, and it's a very good stove. It's built like a tank. And it's got very good construction, and it's nice and easy on the eyes. So you can put it as a centerpiece in your game room or your family room or your living room, like Terry and I did in our game room. So that's a good stove, but there are others. But I'm telling you, that one you can trust. Then you need a good chimney. And don't make the mistake I made. When I first set up our wood stove, and this was one before the Harman, we've had about three, I just set a single stovepipe up on the outside, and that's the biggest mistake you can make, because those chimneys get cold. They build up a lot of creosote, and you can have a chimney fire. You can lose your draft and smoke out your house. So at worst, I would say a triple-wall stainless, a masonry chimney. And you could do it yourself. There are some good preform cement blocks that you line with a ceramic tile insert. And then you could finish it with brick or whatever on the outside, but you have a good, solid thermal mass that maintains your draft. Now, you also need good wood and a place to store it and a good chainsaw to cut it. Now, I like Husqvarna myself, and don't go get one of those ginormous ones. All you need is a small one, because most of the wood you're going to cut doesn't need those big saws, and you're going to get tired as you cut. Trust me, I know. And then you need to pick the right wood. So in the thickest, coldest part of the snow, you know, the January, February, you want to be burning the hardest of hardwoods, like locust and oak. But in the spring and back in the fall, you want to burn some of the softer hardwoods, things like maple and poplar and cherry. Now, what I do with cherry, and sassafras is a really good one for the fall and the spring. So as you set your wood pile up, you want to have these woods kind of segregated in that manner. And I always sprinkle a little bit of cherry throughout the hardwoods for the coldest of the cold, because you put one cherry log on with that, and it makes the most wonderful odor outside. It makes it smell like a Courier Ives image, you know, from some of those old artwork they had back in the 1920s. And then you need a good woodshed to keep it in. You have to keep it dry. And I'm encouraging all you to have alternative heating sources, and heating with wood is one good one. Moving. And right now, folks, you know what it's time for? Time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepared to get high on Hopium.
Now, there was an article out on the Rare Foundation's website this week covering a French general who's paying tribute to the unvaccinated. He said, and these are his words, they embody the best of humanity. They are superheroes. Now, this is a powerful letter, folks, and it's making waves all across Europe right now. This French general is named Christian Blachon, and he praised the citizens who refused the experimental COVID vaccine injections. He says, despite nearly 2 years of pressure campaigns, discriminatory policies, social exclusion, loss of income, threats, and being blamed for others' deaths, the general thanked the unvaccinated for their strength, courage, and leadership. Now, right now, what I'd like to do is just read an excerpt from his letter. Even if I were fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for standing up the greatest pressure I've ever seen, including from spouses, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and doctors. People who have been capable of such personality, courage, and such critical ability undoubtedly embody the best of humanity. They are found everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, countries, and opinions. They are a particular kind. These are the soldiers that any army of light wishes to have in their ranks. They are the parents that every child wishes to have and the children that every parent dreams of having. They are beings above the average of all societies. They are the essence of the peoples who have built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are by your side. They seem normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not do. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion. And they did it because they thought they were alone and believed they were alone. Excluded from their families, Christmas tables, they have never seen anything so cruel. They lost their jobs. They let their careers sink. They had no more money, but they didn't care. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciations, betrayals, and humiliation, but they continued. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. We now know who the resistors are on planet Earth. Men, women, old, young, rich, poor, of all races and all religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen ones of the invisible arc, the only ones who managed to resist when everyone else fell apart and collapsed. You've passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and geniuses couldn't pass. You are made of the stuff of the greatest that ever lived, those heroes born among ordinary men who shine in the dark. Wow, folks. What a letter. And that gives me hope. And now I really truly appreciate the general's comments there. And us purebloods, we're going to help lead the rebuild that follows when we, the people, take back our countries from these globalistic control freaks, and we need to do it, folks. Oh, and by the way, did you hear that it's now considered hate speech to refer to someone as a globalist? Yeah, that's seriously happening in England right now, folks. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our absurdity in the
Ladies
report.
And gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Folks, I want to play this clip for you. It was put out by the Ad Council, and it's in the Absurdian Report, and you'll see why at the end. Now, it's long. It's 7 minutes and 23 seconds long, and it's titled The Gentle Giant. And this is the new media term for violent criminals. But I'd just like you to have a listen to this Absurdian, and then I'll catch you on the other side.
Even though we didn't grow up together, he's my favorite brother. And I know I'm his favorite too. We never argue. We never fight. We was just too much alike.
Hey, sis.
Wow.
I'm the baby of the family, and he's the gentle giant.
I mean, you are a little shorter than I expected, but...
Don't start that.
Come in my side. Yeah, Perry, make sure you put him back in order, please.
Wow.
What?
I don't know about this.
What? Man, I hope you know there's no gospel if that's what you're looking for.
You mean there's no gospel in here, Suge? What you know about poor Jordan?
Man, please.
You wasn't even born when this came out. You don't know this song. You don't know this.
Met him in the club hanging out one night. He said, hello, I'm George. Hi, how's everything going, huh? How you doing? Hope everything's fine. Ooh, and
can I call you sometime? Can I get the digit? And the address so I could come visit. I gave him the digits, there wasn't no problem. Cause if he calls any, I would have this phone on the
Everyone looks at him like family. He's in the community helping people all the time. He's no saint, but you wouldn't go another day without if he found out you was in need.
Sis, I took 10 guys a day. I took them to church. And they got saved. They got saved, sis.
You know when they say people are a rare breed? Yeah, he's that. When Perry met my boyfriend for the first time, you should have seen Dorian's face. He was, I wouldn't say scared, but didn't know how to approach, to even speak to him.
We good here?
We're good here.
His approval, that moment, is the reason why we're still together, and that's a fact.
Now, we know you can't cook. Boys, don't be coming in my house.
Hey, hey.
Get off my food. Don't even.
Food brings family together. Especially mine.
All right.
Man, I wish I could get this every day.
Yeah, I know. They don't do grandma's gravy like this in here.
Dude, you ain't cooked this food.
Well, who the hell else cooks it?
Thank you.
This is a great opportunity. I know you hate being away from your family, even for a day, but it's the right decision to make.
He's always striving to be better for her, to be the best father. Too long without speaking to each other. But even when we did, nothing changed.
You're late.
What up, boy? Gonna be all right.
The love was always the same.
Good. Y'all
I'm sorry. I'll be back in a few hours.
Don't worry, Shug. You know I'm for you.
I know. I love you. And no soda. All right? Bye.
Go get the football. Yeah.
That was my favorite memory.
Come back,
he melted my heart.
Oh, he got the touchdown!
You got your three fingers back there on the lace. This one pointing, thumb gripping. Let me see. Right hand.
He was always for you.
This is a true story of me, Bridget Floyd. And this guy, George Perry Floyd Jr., my big brother.
So there you have it. Whoa. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, folks? Seriously. Did you see the twist at the end coming? Did you expect that to be George Floyd, the gentle giant? Well, I didn't. I didn't expect that. Actually, most people didn't. Yet there's a large segment of people who have been convinced by the propagandists in the deep state-controlled mainstream media who have been portraying George Floyd for the last 2.5 years as this big, benign, humongous, and harmless, towering, and tame man. Yet he's not. One time he broke into a woman's home and pointed a gun at her stomach while his friends looked around her home for stuff to rob. Did you know that? Well, how about the time he committed armed robbery in Houston? But they just forget about all these things, and they make him out to be the gentle giant. And now his family's going after Kanye for saying he died from fentanyl. George Floyd is being called a gentle giant so often that he's going to be right up there with some of the epithets that Homer wrote. Now, if that's not absurd enough, did you hear this other thing that happened, folks? This was in a congressional hearing, and this was GOP Rep. Andrew Clyde asking Dr. Kumar if men can get pregnant. You have to listen to this. It's insane. And I actually played Kumar's response 3 times. It's short.
Dr. Kumar, can biological men become pregnant and give birth?
So men can have pregnancies, especially trans men. Men can have pregnancies, especially trans men. Men can have pregnancies, especially trans men.
What?
That's right, Paul. A Planned Parenthood doctor, a Democratic witness in Congress, recently told Congress that men can get pregnant. I mean, does it get any more absurd than this, folks? This world is going crazy. And a country can't survive this insanity. It's a plan, in fact. It's a modified Marxist game plan where class warfare has been replaced with society warfare. Divide and conquer, and that's what they're doing. But we have to keep moving. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm running out of time. Right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, way back in 1978, I was a senior in AP English, and my teacher was Mrs. Goodwin. And she gave us an assignment. Now, get ready for this, folks. Here was the assignment. We had to write a paper on the benefits of promoting homosexuality as a form of population control. Now, at the time, I'll never forget, we were sitting there, and Mrs. Goodwin was one of those nice middle-aged women that everybody loved. And everybody wanted to be in AP English. That's advanced placement English. That actually counted as college credits. So here we are. Just everybody's jaws were down to their chest. And we're just like dumbfounded. And she went on to give us this little propaganda spiel about how this is a viable form of birth control because two guys can't have a baby until today. Two women can't have a baby until today. So we were all dumbfounded, but we had to write this essay, and I was really troubled by it, and I didn't think much of it. I've shared the story a few times here, but that really happened, and I wish I would have saved the essay. It's just like crazy. But now what I'd like to do is weave this into our next segment, Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So today, folks, let's wind the clock back, way back to 1883, the year Sir Francis Galton coined the term eugenics. Now, back in 1883, this term, it inspired fear of what was known as race degeneration in countries all around the world, including Germany. Now, his theories were later applied as the master race ideologies 40 years later by Hitler himself in the Nazi rule. Then along comes Margaret Sanger a little bit before Hitler with her Planned Parenthood in 1921, also inspired by Sir Francis Galton's writings on eugenics. Now, Sanger drew the tenets of eugenics and applied it to immigrants and blacks and the poor and the mentally challenged. And she advocated for a systematic filtering out of the American gene pool via sterilization and birth control and abortion of all of these elements of society. Just keep that in mind. Now, let's wind the clock ahead to March 11th. That was the year this infamous Jaffe memo was published by Planned Parenthood for a man named Bernard Barclay. And it was written by Frederick Jaffe, and it was titled Activities Relevant to the Study of Population Policy for the U.S. And you can find all this on a website called jaffememo.com. Okay, now the Jaffe memo is infamous. Probably the most infamous document produced by Planned Parenthood. And this goes all the way back to 1969. Now, remember what Mrs. Goodwin did to me 9 years later. You think that maybe he read this document. Planned Parenthood out there, and they're portraying themselves as an advocate for women's rights, women's autonomy, and sexual freedom. But items in this AFI document reveal a quite different story. In this document, you can see how they were putting together plans to reduce the population in the United States, and they gave out certain ideas like fertility control agents in the water supply, inducing chronic depression in the population, compulsory abortion, compulsory sterilization, and the discouragement of home ownership. Not exactly what you would call autonomy. Now, this memo was a synthesis of the ideas of a then-wide group of people, both inside and outside of Planned Parenthood. And its concise summary of these ideas that are found in this memo serves as a very useful illustration of a whole range of disconcerting policy considerations. And it was derived primarily from people such as M. Young, W. Shockley, L. Day, to name a few, okay? Now, the circumstances that unfolded in the United States shortly after this memo was circulated, and it was only circulated privately, suggests that some of these proposals were actually implemented. Look at what happened to me in advanced placement English. So it probably got through to the National Education Association, and so these teachers on the cutting edge, and that's what AP English was. It was cutting edge there, and I had to write an essay on it in 1978. So here we have Planned Parenthood advocating population control through a division that was actually headed by Frederick Jaffe. And this is just downright insane. It's wrong, folks. You also ought to be aware that the organizations complicit in the scheme included others. And I'm not going to get into the list, but there's a lot of other people than just Planned Parenthood that was behind this. A lot of the think tanks, a lot of the foundations. Sick, folks. Now, back in 1977, Reverend Jesse Jackson was at a March for Life down in Washington, and he equated abortion to slavery. What's changed? Jackson actually wrote a 1,000-word essay for the National Right to Life News, stating that if one accepts the position that life is private, and therefore you have the right to do with it as you please, one must also accept the conclusion of that logic. That was the premise of slavery, that you could not protest the existence or treatment of slaves on the plantation because there was private and therefore outside your right to be concerned, you know, with regard to their life. So he was encouraging Planned Parenthood to drop the whole abortion thing, and that was back in 1977. So how do we apply this to today's news and freaky, geeky headlines? Well, how do we do it? Well, take your pick. There have been so many campaign ads out there for conservative candidates. I'm just going to play one from Josh Shapiro. He is the insider who facilitated the election 2020 steal here in Pennsylvania. He was the secretary of, no, the who was the attorney general for Pennsylvania. And he was actually interviewed on a local news station, and it's been scrubbed, where he said, after all the ballots are counted, Biden will win, Trump will lose. Then he went on the national speaking tour as Pennsylvania delayed the election results. Why? Because they had to bring in more fake ballots from New York, and they had to do what they could with the software on the voting machines to eliminate votes. In fact, here in my little county, we lost 1,000 votes. We only have 70,000 residents in my county. We lost 20,000 votes for Trump overnight. But anyway, Shapiro's running for governor now. That's his reward for facilitating the steal. Just like Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, you know, the man that's been in the news all week for his horrible debate with Dr. Oz. He was the lieutenant governor who also helped get the votes, the fraudulent votes, certified here in Pennsylvania. But anyways, listen to Josh Shapiro's attack on Mastriano, the GOP candidate who's in the lead right now, and listen to how he attacked him.
This is Republican State Senator Doug Mastriano. He's the Republican who's ahead in the polls for governor. He wants to outlaw abortion. It's Mastriano who wrote the heartbeat bill in Pennsylvania, and he's one of Donald Trump's strongest supporters. He wants to end vote by mail, and he led the fight to audit the 2020 election. If Mastriano wins, it's a win for what Donald Trump stands for. Is that what we want in Pennsylvania?
That's upside down, folks. Mastriano is advocating life and the sanctity of life. And now that's a bad thing. Mastriano is supporting the ideals that Donald Trump made America great with. And now that's a bad thing. Or, you know, we just heard Kumar, remember?
Dr. Kumar, can biological men become pregnant and give birth?
So men can have pregnancies, especially trans men. Men can have pregnancies, especially trans men. Men can have pregnancies, especially trans men.
This is total lunacy, folks, but it's all by plan. So we can see that this came through the eugenics movement of the 1800s up through Planned Parenthood and what the Nazis did. And now we have this Jaffe document advocating abortion and it being used as a form of population control and homosexuality. This is insane, folks. This is why I said at the beginning of the show that we must learn to have a discriminating mind. And to be discriminating isn't the same as being racist. Now, what I'd like to do at this point in the show is share what I took away from another bombshell sermon from my pastor last Sunday, Pastor Todd. And God bless him. He is on fire. He shared this with us last week. Now, there's an important verse found in the book of Ephesians concerning our walk in the faith, also known as living a life worth living. And in short, we could call it a worthy life. Now, last Sunday, my pastor, like I said, who's been on fire lately, preached this verse with us, and it was Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is St. Paul talking to the Ephesians, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Now, earlier in past sermons, and I shared one with you last week out of Ephesians, we learned that as true believers, we're secure in Jesus Christ and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And now in this portion to the end of Ephesians, so chapter 4 through 6, St. Paul's telling us how we can walk out the faith as a response to these awesome truths that we are secure in Christ, seated with him in the heavenlies. Now, there are two options in terms of how we choose to live this life. Either we could live this worthy life, or we can choose to live a futile life. St. Paul called that the vanity of our minds. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, he wrote, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds." Now, what that means is that we need to have a discriminating mind. Yes, we need to be discriminators. And that, I know at first that sounds really quite wrong. Is that the right word? And I'm going to say it again. We need to be discriminators. That's right, Paul. We need to discriminate. Yet today, discrimination and prejudice, they're viewed as synonymous terms. So if you are saying to somebody, "I discriminate," they immediately think you're a racist. Just like if you say, Zionistic politics have an agenda for globalism, you're labeled an anti-Semite. But we must discriminate. And we have to understand the difference between discriminating and prejudicing. Now, to prejudice means to prejudge without merit or cause, to differentiate or distinguish and draw or recognize a distinction. Now, isn't it ironic the media is blasting anyone who says Fetterman isn't fit for office? Yet that's reasonable. That's discriminating. But that isn't prejudicial. You know, we discriminate all the time, folks, from elections to the selection of a doctor or even a new car for that matter. To discriminate simply means to choose, to tell the difference between or discern the difference between. So to discriminate means to separate. For example, to separate the wheat from the chaff, or the sheep from the goats. We see all sorts of discrimination in the Bible, folks. And the bottom line is, in order to live a life worthy rather than a futile life, we need to discriminate. We need to have discriminating minds. In other words, we need to think critically. We need to pick out and discriminate ideas with wisdom, not prejudice. You know, all people may be equal, but not all ideas, values, or lifestyles are equal. nor do they result in the best outcomes for life. So our lives are built upon what we chose in the past that determine our future. So we have to discriminate to improve the quality of our lives. Yet the world and the establishment wants you to believe that everything is equal. And it's not true. Our lives must be built upon the rock. Jesus tells us that in Matthew 7, verse 24. And he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And when the storms come, we all remain standing. Amen? So Ephesians 4 through 6 teach us how to walk, what's known as a life worthy of walking, rather than being trapped in the vanity of our minds. So what is this vanity of our minds? Well, it's another way of saying stinking thinking that you always hear me say here on this show. It's a confused mind, which has a futility in its thinking. It's a foolishness, an emptiness of the soul. In other words, it's living like stupid, godless people with worthless thoughts. Now, if any of that upsets you, take it up with the Bible translators, because every phrase I used there came out of this verse in different versions. Even the one where it says, it's living like stupid, godless people with worthless thoughts. To do is what Pastor Todd did last Sunday, and compare and contrast or discriminate between a futile mind and a worthy mind. Now, St. Paul tells us that futile minds have certain characteristics, and we see that in verses 18 and 19 of Ephesians chapter 4. Saying their understandings darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that's in them. And why is there ignorance in them? Well, it's due to the hardness of their heart. They've become callous, and they've given themselves up to sensuality, greed, and every form of impurity. So we can say that someone who's a stinking thinker, as I call them, has a darkened mind, and he's been alienated from God. Plus, they're ignorant. And why? Because of this callous heart. Now, as such, they remain stuck in the flesh. And whatever their vice might be, they demand more and more of that stimulation to get their fix, so to speak, okay? Now, that fix can be sex, illicit sex, drugs, porn, or whatever, you know? Could be money. Just get that fix when you go out and buy something. So you need more money to buy more stuff to get that fix. But that isn't a life worthy of living. Christians ought to be walking. So St. Paul tells us in verse 20 through 24 that we ought to put off that old self. And he says, but ye have not learned, O Christ, if so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the Bible tells us that all of us in Christ, all who believe, are new creatures and everything's made new. In fact, we're made after God, which is in righteousness and holiness. Not our righteousness, not our holiness, but God's. Yet today, most Christians have lost the very reputation of being either holy or righteous. Now, Christians all need to live like Mr. Rogers at the beginning of his show. Now, I don't know if you ever watched Mr. Rogers, but I grew up on him, and each show started the same way. Mr. Rogers would have that song playing. He'd walk up the steps into his house, open the door, and take off his outside sweater and put on his inside sweater. Then he'd take off his outside shoes and put on his inside shoes. And that's what St. Paul's telling us to do. He's saying, take off the old man concerning our former conversation and put on the new man, which is as created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, at the end of the show, Mr. Rogers always went back and put his old shoes and his old sweater back on, but we don't want to do that. As born-again believers, we are made after God in his righteousness and his holiness, and that's the point here. So put on the righteousness of God. Put on the holiness of God. And like Paul said to all born-again believers in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. What's that mean? Well, folks, that means we're created as vessels of honor. Now, Pastor Todd told this little story about a cookout, and he loves cooking out. And his wife, Tina, kind of rolled her eyes when he said this. But suppose he invited you over for a cookout, and you'd love a cookout at Pastor Todd's. Got the grill heating up and everything looks real nice. The food's looking great and delicious. But as you round the corner, he doesn't see you coming, but you see him using the grilling utensils to pick up dog poop. You know, he wants a clean yard, but he's using the grilling utensils, vessels of honor to cook the food, to pick up dog poop. Well, how would that make you feel? I don't think I'd want to eat at Pastor Todd's. Well, how do you think we make the Holy Spirit feel if we're to be vessels of honor for the very essence of God in his third person, the Holy Spirit, those vessels which he dwells in richly? How do you think that'd make the Holy Spirit feel if you're out in this world defiling your vessel of honor? That's why righteousness and holiness is so essential in a worthy walk, because we're created to be vessels of honor. So don't wallow in the mire of this world like a pig wallowing in his pigsty. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 27 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't lie. When you speak, speak the truth. And if you get angry, which is okay, in certain situations, self isn't bad. It's how you respond to what made you angry that matters. And the bottom line is, when you do get angry, don't sin. And then he says in verse 28, don't steal. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. In other words, short and simple, get a job and stop stealing. Get off the dole. Yet how many people live off of unemployment today? Then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 30, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, and that it may minister grace for the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So in other words, avoid rude and crude comments. Rude comments attack another. Like you might pick on somebody that wears funny clothing. What's that do to them? As a Christian, avoid rude. And then crude is just being a garbage mouth. You know, always having sexual innuendos or whatever. Don't do that. Now, we can still be funny. And if you want to be funny at somebody's expense, like my pastor said, be funny at your expense. But find humor in good things, not in all these rude and crude things. Speak righteousness. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Obey him. And then Paul wrote in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, as you go through those, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, that's how you heat up when you're angry. Avoid that. First you're bitter. Then you start plotting what you're going to do to these people. I did a whole segment on this years ago. Go through the archives and search for Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, and you'll see the teaching I did on that, folks. And then he says in verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's the worthy walk, folks. That's the life worth living. Then he picks it up over in chapter 5, the first four verses, and said, "Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself to us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." So all of this garbage going on in the world with transgenderism, the LGBTQ, what's that do? That defiles your vessel of honor, folks. That's filthiness. That's foolish talk. You don't want to do that. That's fornication. That's uncleanness, covetousness. Avoid it. Then a little later in chapter 5, he says, "And don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So I'm not saying don't have a drink with dinner, but don't get drunk. Get drunk on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, as a Christian, I don't know if it's a good idea to drink in public. And the reason I say that is it may be okay with you, but other people look towards you. And if they see you drinking and they know you're a Christian, they might irrationally think, well, if it's okay for Ken to have a beer, it's okay for me. But I don't have an issue with alcoholism, folks. They might. And my behavior might cause them to fall. So my solution is I don't drink in public. Now, I do enjoy a beer here and now at home. I love a beer with a piece of pizza. I don't do it in public. And then he finishes by saying in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So there are certain do's and don'ts if you want to walk this worthy of living and avoid getting caught up in the vanity of your mind. And it involves discriminating. So we must decide what actions and ways of thinking that we are going to embark upon. And ask yourself this, does this thought, does this word, does this action sit well on the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ? And if you're struggling with that, think about a wobbly chair in a restaurant. Do you ever go to a restaurant and the table or the chair wobbled? You move one way and it kind of plops, and then you move, put your elbow on the table and the table flops the other way. Well, think about your thoughts. Think about your words and think about your actions like that. Are they sitting square and level upon the chief cornerstone? And those stones laid by the apostles and the prophets, does it wobble? And if it wobbles, then you might not want to do it. In fact, I would urge you not to. So certain things just don't sit well. One of them would be an unbridled tongue. James tells us about that. You know, a spark could start an entire forest fire. So just guard your tongue. Guard your thoughts. St. Paul said to take every thought captive that comes between you and knowing God. Your motives for your actions. Remember, even doing the right thing for the wrong reason is the worst kind of treason. So in short, there's no place in a Christian's rhetoric for rude or crude joking. Like I said, rude is at another's expense. Crude is just plain wrong. Also, how you handle money. That's important. In fact, God even cares about our sex lives. And he expects us to be responsible how we handle drugs and alcohol. So we need to walk a walk worthy of living. And it needs to be on a well-lit path of righteousness and holiness. So go ahead and read on your own Ephesians chapter 5, verses 4 through 14. And then read Ephesians 5, verses 5 through 7. And just realize one thing. God has given us it all. We're equipped beyond measure to accomplish this, provided that we repent and trust, and then trust and obey in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to wrap this up and ask you a couple questions. Have you ever regretted a dumb decision? I know I have. But have you ever regretted a wise one? I can't say I ever did. Now, sometimes they're a little painful up front. There's gratification delayed, so to speak. But a wise decision is one that I have never regretted in my entire life, folks, saying all this to guilt you, but rather to inspire you into right living. And the first step to do that, like I said, is to repent, which means to change your mind and to set things in a new light. And then trust. Trust in Jesus and make the right choices by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, this isn't always easy. But remember, the same way that we were saved by grace through faith is the same way that we're going to live this walk that's worthy of living, and that's by grace through faith. And when we do that, folks, we're choosing to be wise rather than foolish. We're choosing to follow Christ rather than the world. And remember what that general from France said about all of us who stood up and said no to the vaccines? Tie that into the words of Winston Churchill, who said, in this battle, never give in, never, no, never.
Never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, not some force, not some phantom, but a person who Jesus sent to minister to us and to lead us to all truth, he lives in you and me. That same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the Holy Spirit, God himself. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. We all cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.